Hi, it's Joel, and thanks for listening to me remember my first reaction to experiencing our song, Silver and Green, a copy of which you received from us recently. There are a limited set of moments in your life which live indelibly upon and inextricably tied to your memories in a way that you almost can't think back on whom you are and from where you come without them. Hearing Silver and Green for the first time over the stereo system in the home of my youth, the den of my childhood in 2001, is undoubtedly one such moment for me. Quick context. Pawn Shop Kings, in its nascent form, had just taken shape, and my brother and I, with the other founding member, Tristan Stegmeier, booked 3 days after hours at Schnee Studios in North Hollywood, which wasn't just a recording studio, but a nostalgic time travel straight off the 1980s set of Miami Vice, with its neon cursive font signs, off-white and pink hues, and rumored drug bundles stashed in the walls by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We had absolutely zero confirmation of that last bit, but the lore was set, and then substantiated by my walking past the reception desk up front to find a telephone memo for Bill Chenet, studio owner and prominent record producer, to call Huey Lewis back, complete with Huey's Bay Area telephone number. It was a number I treasured and threatened to call on numerous occasions until I lost that flip phone and my best shot of being best friends with Huey. The three of us, Scott, Tristan, and me, alongside one of our favorite LA and now Nashville players, competent on just about any instrument, Joshua Grange, set out to record anywhere from 1 to 3 songs that weekend, whatever we ended up having time for. I played drums, Tristan was our bass player, Scott handled acoustic guitar, maybe some electric, I can't remember, with the three of us singing, and Grangey masterfully performed the pedal steel, piano, and anything else we needed. It's a story for another time, but as a drummer, for the first time in a recording studio, I learned a ton about how much it takes to succeed as a professional recording musician, as well as how I respond and would continue to respond through the coming years when facing something new, be it a foreign and yet unseen musical instrument, or as in this case, overconfidence in my main instrument of responsibility when the red recording light of the studio illuminates. I'll say for shorthand, the risks I seem to crave are just about Scott's least favorite trait of mine. And I'll also be historically accurate to say, as a drummer, that first time was at best touch and go for more than a few moments. But the overall experience was nothing short of amazing. You don't yet allow yourself the title of musician. You're not yet sure how long this dream will last, but you feel so at home, even with the salient learning curve set before you and so resonant with the environment that all sense and focus on time completely disappears. 3 in the morning might as well be 3 in the afternoon. Your level of energy and awareness inscrutably at its height. But time, in fact, did exist, and those 3 days were over far too quickly. Jump ahead maybe, I don't know, a couple weeks, few weeks, whatever it was, to our parents' home, where we no longer lived, sitting around the stereo system in the den, me perched on the chair in the kitchen where I consumed every breakfast, lunch, and dinner from 2.5 to 18 before leaving for college. With Silver and Green filling the room and bouncing off the walls, I used to jump up and see how high I could touch, undulating toward the piano in the living room where we logged countless hours hammering out the foundations of music theory from Mozart to Oliver Twist. And up to that moment in my life, which now lives as one indelible memory inextricably tied to my personhood, I had never heard something I was a part of sound so beautiful. Sitting still and consumed with the sounds, overwhelmed with emotion, tears raced to leap from my chin. Josh Grange's atmospheric sounds filled my heart as much as my ears. A tonally gorgeous grand piano with ascending arpeggios in the pre-chorus yeah section, running up to those descending pedal steel answer lines. Dense reverb on high harmonies that sound more like instruments than vocal cords. Our voices in the outro cascading around each other and the heavily panned-in stereo emotive force of the steel from the left and the right speakers as the progression lifts to its apex. Mesmerized by ideas we formed in the moment that night coming back at me with sonic emotion as the song finds its conclusion with piano lines dripping like the end of a heavy rainfall. I simply couldn't contain it. I think many things happened in that moment. I understood why I loved music, where some of its true power lies, how much of me exists in the delight of creation and completion. And though I didn't know it then, that I would spend the rest of my life creating more of those moments. Of course, as we all know, as hard as we try and as close as we come, nothing compares to the first time. And I feel it even now, more than I have in years, remembering and recollecting it for you, as if I was sitting there at 1851 Port Tiffin Place in Newport Beach. So thank you for sharing this moment with me. I hope the next time you listen to this song of ours, you can hear at least a fraction of what played a role in shaping my life. See you soon.